by Gotham, a crazy podcast about DC, with your host E-Rock and PD. When we speak up, get your geeks up, cause you know you about to get geeked up. So sit back, relax, and get comfy. Lose your mind like Solomon Grundy, and listen to a show that won't be forgotten, coming straight out of Gotham.
Out in the DC universe, I hope all of you have your clock set because it really screwed me up this morning. Welcome to another episode of Straight Outta Gotham, episode 146. We are a fandom pop culture podcast and a proud member of the Batman Podcast Network, hosted by batmanonfilm.com. If you want to check out all the other shows associated with the network, please head on over to VOF, clicking the podcast drop down and clicking one of the shows that somebody has to offer, even if you have to listen to the Batman Book Club again for a millionth time for whatever reason. I'm your co-host from the other side of the Hudson River. I am Peter R. Rivera. Today we're recording on March 10th, 2024. We always have a great show for you today. Before we get into good stuff, I'd like to remind you all, our faithful listeners, if you take the time to rate and review this show on Apple Podcasts and we read your review on air, you just won a Straight Outta Gotham monthly prize pack. So you got to be in it to win it. Now, let me introduce my partner in crime, the only man to beat a dolphin in the great 1987 race of the Long Island Sound. Ladies and gentlemen, Eric Holzman.
Good morning.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's you, man. You took on Flipper and you beat him.
Yeah, again.
Is there anything you can't
do? There's plenty of things, honestly, I can't do.
Well, one thing you do, and one thing you do often is get it in.
Well, I like you, I did not wake up this morning full of energy and life. I think it's because, like you said, it's daylight saving time, so we put the clocks ahead an hour, which we like.
Does that only affect our states?
It only affects the people who do it. I think there's only,
right?
I think Arizona doesn't do it, and there might be another state that doesn't change the clocks.
I thought the whole country didn't do it except for the
East Coast. No. There's other states that do it. But yeah, there's still a bill sitting in Congress that they passed apparently, to get rid of it so that it's this time all year round. But as we know with our government, that nothing gets done. So I'm sure that'll never get all the way through and become law anyway. So,
there's a lot more unimportant things that need to get done before they can do that.
Yes, I guess this is not on the high list of priorities. But it would be a win. It'd be a win for everyone. So I don't know.
I feel like in politics, if you can't make shady money, you're not going to do it.
You know what, Pete? I think you're correct. I think that's what's kind of become the thing.
If I just knew somebody who had a political podcast, I know who I could talk to about this, that would be great. If I knew someone.
I don't know anyone who has one either.
Yeah, I wish I knew somebody who had a political podcast. I wish.
I know. So yeah, the dolphin race was a fun thing, but it was a baby dolphin. It wasn't a fully grown.
Okay.
So I can't, you know, I felt kind of bad beating a baby, but it is what it is.
Uh-huh. Well, you were trained by Heinz Gets Velvet, so you were trained by like some of the best dolphin trainers in the world. So
yeah.
You know, you can swim like them.
I do miss those days.
I don't know how you move your body like that. That just seems
weird. I miss those days, though. Swimming.
Those days in the ocean.
Just swimming.
With a starfish.
It's weird. When I did...
Faster than lightning. Holzman swimming.
When I did it...
In the sea.
When I was swimming, I hated it because practice was early and we had to get up super, super early. And even in the summer, it was just get up like 5:30 in the morning and... Mm-hmm. But now, when I think back, I'm like, wow, that was fun. That was actually a fun time in my life. So,
you had a harder time waking up at 11 o'clock today. You're going to try to wake up.
I know. I'm such a night person. I could stay up super late, but I hate the mornings. I'm not a morning guy. It is what it is. But all right. So
the best things about morning are breakfast.
It's true.
Your bacon, egg, and cheese.
True. The mornings are, the food choices in the morning are, they're simple, but they're some of the best. So, and like I told you, I'm drinking coffee out of my Holzman mug. So if you, there you go. So.
another fantastic thing I created for the show.
Yeah. It's still one of very clever. It's a very clever thing you did. So
yeah,
I give you credit with that.
The cleverness of a velociraptor.
And like you said, it's 146, man. We're slowly creeping to 150.
Yeah,
it's coming. I guess we should probably discuss more what we're going to do for that show, but,
it'll probably end up just being a show.
We'll see though. We'll see. Maybe we could get some of the guys, each have a little bit of a segment on the show and we could splice it together instead of doing one big, we'll see. We'll talk about it. But I think it would be fun to do something like that. So, yeah. Well, we have our normal slate today, and there were some really interesting stories that contradicted each other. But one of them, not really contradicted, but just two different points of view. So let's start there. Chris Evans, who famously played Captain America, spoke about the comic book movie industry. And I'm just going to read the quote that he says. "Comic book movies in general, for whatever reason, don't always get the credit I think they deserve. They are these big, giant movies. There's a lot of cooks in the kitchen, but the empirical evidence is in. They're not easy to make. If it was easier, there would be a lot more good ones. I'm not throwing shade. I've been part of a few that missed. It happens. Making a movie is tough. More cooks in the kitchen doesn't make it easier. I don't want to highlight specific films in the Marvel catalog, but some of them are phenomenal. Like, independently, objectively great movies, and I think they deserve a little more credit." He goes on to talk about one of his favorites and his personal favorite, which is, of course, one that he was in. One I think all of us love is Captain America: The Winter Soldier. He says, "It's my personal favorite Marvel movie that I was a part of. It's not for the movie itself, but the experience. The first film, I was so nervous. You know what you're stepping into, and as a result, you're playing defense and you're playing not to lose. When Winter Soldier came around, we were playing to win, and it's the first movie with the Russo brothers. We were taking more risks, and the characters felt more fleshed out. It was one of the more satisfying experiences I have ever had in my Marvel run." So Pete, he says that because of the Russo brothers, they took more risks, and you're not a fan of the Russo brothers. So,
I mean, their track record speaks for itself. We all know that they're more just kind of stand-ins than anything else. I'm sure they had a couple of good ideas, but like, I wouldn't trust them to paint a barn if I had to. I think he makes some valid points there, but I don't know, for every Winter Soldier, there's like four Madam Webs. I think he's got something there with the cooks in the kitchen. We've said it before. I think when you do a shared universe, I think there are way more cooks in the kitchen to begin with. I think you probably have more cooks in a smaller kitchen than you do anything else. I don't think he's 100% right. I think he's got some, from his experience, he's definitely got some, truth to that. But, it's just, I don't know. There's bad movies out there. There's bad superhero movies. Some movies deserve more credit. Some movies deserve less. I don't think like Captain Marvel is a fantastic movie. I don't think it ever deserved the accolades it got. But, like Dark Knight and Winter Soldier do. So, it is what it is. There's there's good and the bad in everything. It's hard to say people like have knocked the comic book genre when it's basically dominated the box office the last
decade.
Well, that's
what he said, right? The empirical evidence shows that these movies are good. A lot of it is driven by whoever the character is, at least in some of them. As we know, most people will go see a Batman movie and a Spider-Man movie just because it's Batman and Spider-Man. But I think when he's speaking specifically, if he could speak specifically about the MCU, they started with Iron Man, who wasn't an A-list character, and they built that great universe from that character. So I think that's what he's talking about. I do kind of agree. I've always said that. I mean, whether you like the shared universe or not, the more people you have involved in something, the messier it can get. That's anything in life. So I get that point of view from it, but yeah, I mean, like you said, we've had some really, really great ones. There's, of course, been some misses. But at the end of the day, it's really based on the viewer. So, just, like, we like certain films, and we disagree on certain films. We like certain films that other people don't. You know, it's just, it matters what resonates with the viewer. So I thought it was interesting, though. He did continue to speak about, because they also asked him if he would play Steve Rogers again, Captain America. He says that he, it's tough. He does love the character. He means a lot to him, but he says it's like this shiny thing and he wouldn't want to screw it up. And he says right now it doesn't feel right. So I don't know if we'll see him again, but it didn't, he didn't completely close the door. So, and as we know, Anthony Mackie is now Captain America, and I'm sure he wants to have respect there and say, you know, let him get his try to see how that works out. So,
yeah, well, I mean, the box office will speak. I mean, I don't know. If people don't show up for Anthony Mackie wearing the red, white, and blue, you can't tell me that they won't be reactionary and do something mm-hmm. crazy. Be brutally honest. This is the way it is. I mean, and that's the way it goes in print, too. Like, I mean, Steve Rogers eventually came back. I mean, I think right now we have two Captain sure. Americas, so... the example is there for them if they need to pivot. I don't know how it'll, I don't even know if people are going to show up for Anthony Mackie, to be brutally honest. You know, like, is he that big of a name? I'm very curious. There's a lot of questions in the MCU going on right now. I think Captain America is one of them.
Yeah, I think that's, but I think they're, what they're hoping is that character now will get people to come. Even though it's not Steve Rogers, I think the Captain America name, he's big enough of a character.
I'm very curious to see.
So we'll yeah. see. Yeah, we'll see how that works.
But then I'm just curious if people go in there and they expect one thing and they see another. Like, I'm confused. Like, I'm just curious. Like, how many people watched Falcon and Winter Soldier?
Yeah, it's fair.
How many people saw this transition? Like, there's, you know, like, there's not everyone's a Disney Plus.
That's true. He's a known enough actor, you know, I think, now, though. He's been in a lot of different things.
He recently just did a Twisted Metal series for NBC, or a Peacock yeah. kind of thing. So, yeah, I'm very curious. It's just one of those questions. Like, I love Anthony Mackie as Falcon Sam Wilson. I think he's great. You know, it's a shame he doesn't have a real Redbird, but, you know, it is what it is. We'll see what happens. Again, just a lot of questions around the MCU. Captain America is just one of them.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. The industry as a whole, I think there's a lot of questions in the genre of the CBM genre. So, yeah, but you're right. It's a very, very fair. That's a very good take, a fair take. Conversely, The Independent did an interview with Paul Dano, and they asked him specifically about why Batman was immune to superhero movie fatigue, as people are calling it. So,
well, he didn't watch The Flash.
So here are here with his quotes. There are enough comic book movies where you just know what you're going to get. Reading the script for The Batman, you knew it was a very real film. Every sentence that's just Matt Reeves. So he continued to speak. It's an interesting moment where everybody has to go like, okay, what now? Hopefully from that, somebody either breathes new life into the comic book movies or something else blossoms, which is not superheroes. I'm sure there will be some good ones yet to come, but I think it's kind of a welcome moment. It's a larger thing, too. As soon as the word content came into what we were doing, meaning making movies or TV, it meant quantity over quality, which I think was a big misstep. And I certainly don't need that as a viewer or as an artist. So... what did you think of those comments?
I think the Batman itself is just different than everything else, because I think it takes itself a little bit more seriously than everything else. You know, I really do. Even some of the more serious MCU films, I think the Batman is just a little bit more grounded. Mm-hmm. And we know that take resonates. It might be a resonates with people. I mean, the Nolan trilogy was very successful. The Batman was successful, coming off a more fantastical run as Batman. Good or bad, whether you liked it or not, I don't care. It didn't resonate with people. We watched the Flash bomb, that fantastical Batman bomb. So I don't even know if you want to say it's, it's so interesting. I do think the Batman was a different type of movie. It's just the approach they took to it, to make it. It's clearly not your typical CBM that we've seen over the last couple mm-hmm. of years. It's very just, you know, it really is like dark and gritty. Like, Warner Brothers has been trying to make dark and gritty DC movies for a while post Nolan. Well, it didn't really happen until the Batman. to be brutally honest, I just, you know, there's just something about the character in that, take that realism, if you want to call it realism now, because that's a thing post Nolan, But that version just for some reason hits with people. It just does. I mean, as many Kowalskis that are out there that want to cry like babies on the internet, it works. I'm sorry. Whether it was Nolan or Reeves, for some reason that view transcends.
Yeah, stylistically, it's a different type of film. It's told in noir style where you have the narrator, which is Batman, talking over the rest of the film, which is a very noir style thing that happens in all those type of movies. So I think that's one of the reasons, like he says, it's a very real film. To me, it's a very different style that he chose to tell this story, as opposed to all the other ones, which are simple, just typical blockbuster type films. So I think that was one of the reasons why. Also, I mean, you say that I don't think Batman is Teflon, period. If the movie stinks, people are going to say it, but it was a good movie. So, you know, good movie, good director, as opposed to what Chris Evans said with having lots of cooks in the kitchen, was just Matt Reeves. So, you know, you have, it's very targeted, and he got to,
focused.
He got to tell,
I didn't say it's focused.
Yeah. He got to tell his story. So what I don't like people, I don't like when I hear someone say something's a real film. I feel like all movies are real movies or real films.
Yeah, but like, I don't know. I feel like some CBMs recently kind of taken on the role of live action cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I feel like they've kind of, maybe they're going too deep into the comic bookiness of what the source material is. Like, as someone who's an avid comic book reader, some things just won't translate. They're just too far out there. They just are. That as readers of comics, we've accepted as the norm, but I don't think are acceptable within a movie sense. That's mostly why I argue against the shared universe. Is it the best thing for the character? Can it, like, you know, like, is this the right thing in the moment? Like, it, not everything in comic books works and translates well. And sometimes I wonder if having all these characters and having to have so many cooks in the kitchen is the best interest for a character, whereas something like the Batman is just focused on itself.
Right. Yeah.
Which I think lends to a better product.
Yeah. He did also bring up the content thing that now you're having TV shows. Well, now we're going to have Penguin. So we're going to be able to see if that works within this universe. I think it will. Just because I think the character we got a good introduction to the character, and I feel like people really loved that take of him, of Penguin. So I think it will work, but we don't know. Like, I have no idea until I see the movie, until I see the TV show.
So, yeah, I want to hope that this movie, that like a Penguin streaming show will attract more people, because it's essentially a crime drama. You know, like, I want to feel like if you can take maybe some average Joe working a dead end job, coming home and watching this with a beer, to just kind of like, all right, this isn't comic book bullshit. Oh, this is a crime drama. You know, like, maybe that'll kind of catch some people off guard and make them focus on it. Right. It's like, I haven't seen this before.
Yeah.
You know,
no, that
that's kind of what I'm hoping.
Yeah. I think that too. It is something that, like, it's not the fantastical version of the Penguin that we've seen before. He's a very real person. And I think that'll resonate more with people, as like you said before, with the realism aspect of it. And if people saw, especially the people who saw the movie, you know, they're going to watch the show to bring other people in. Like you said, the crime drama aspect probably is the draw there. And yeah. That's, you know, we'll see how that plays out. But
it is kind of scary in a world where we're saying everything's oversaturated. You know, like, it's kind of like, I got a feeling less is a lot more here. And I there's a small part of me that's worried about it. But because it's a streaming show, I don't know. Like,
yeah. I mean, it's definitely something.
They're trying it. I just don't see them. They are, but I also just, like, I don't know. Like, it just, we're not going to have a moment where I think like someone like Daredevil pops up in She-Hulk. You know, we're not going to have that, in my opinion.
I think
if we see any,
yeah. I mean, I think Jeffrey Wright might show up. Obviously, he's Commissioner Gordon. So I think we might see him in an episode or two.
Yeah, I'm just saying we won't see like Matt Reeves. Like, you're not going to see like, I don't know, Matt Reeves like Plastic Man.
Oh, yeah. No.
Or something crazy. Like, right. You know, like you're not, sure. They're not going to introduce a bunch of other characters. If anything, the only, you know, we know we'll see Clancy Brown and Maroney. Right. But like, is there, I bet you there isn't like a huge main character that is introduced that we probably didn't even not
hear
of.
Yeah, I'd probably agree with that. I don't think we're going to get character introductions in the show. But we might. I mean, you don't know. We might. I mean, and then even Dano wrote the Riddler comic that's attached to the movie. So, you know, they're creating a universe, as we know, within the Batman.
There's also a prequel novel that's really good.
So he's creating this universe within the Batman, which is one thing. So we'll see how that works, but it was just an interesting take. What I was reading, Evans is like, hey, you know, these movies deserve more credit because they are so difficult to make. And then you have this take saying the reason why this worked is because it was so focused and didn't have to worry about all these other, you know, parts to it. It's just interesting that we've got both of these takes within the same week. So another person who's been speaking recently is Dakota Johnson on Madam Web. And this has bothered me, but I'll read what she said and her quotes about Madam Web. She was speaking to Bustle. I don't know what Bustle is, so I'm sorry.
Bustle. I heard a bussin', yeah. Not Bustle.
So these were her quotes on making Madam Web and the fallout from it. It was definitely an experience for me to make that movie. I had never done anything like it before. I probably will never do anything like it again because I don't make sense in that world. And I know that now. But sometimes in this industry, you sign on to something and it's one thing and then you're making it. It becomes a completely different thing. And you're like, wait, what? But it was a real learning experience. And of course, it's not nice to be a part of something that's ripped to shreds, but I can't say that I don't understand. It's so hard to get movies made, and in these big movies that get made, and it's even starting to happen with the little ones, which is what's really freaking me out, decisions are being made by committees, and art does not do well when it's made by committee. Films are made by a filmmaker and a team of artists around them. You cannot make art based on numbers and algorithms. My feeling has been for a long time that audiences are extremely smart, and executives have started to believe that they're not. Audiences will always be able to sniff out bullshit. Even if the films start to be made with AI, humans aren't going to fucking want to see those. She got a little dirty in this one. And it was not just her. Sydney Sweeney also on SNL made the quote, "You might have seen me in Anyone But You in Euphoria. You definitely did not see me in Madam Web."
That's because they covered her up a lot in Madam Web. Unlike everything else she's been in. Here's the thing. I believe it was Kristen Dunst who recently just said, I would love to do another superhero movie because I got two kids to feed. They pay me a lot of money. Mm-hmm. When the checkbook gets written, I don't see any of these people saying no and turn it down. A job's a job. We all been lied to by our employers at some point. Yep. So welcome to the real world, sweetheart. Work isn't going the way you want it to. Just be happy you got a couple mil. And you can spend the rest of the winter on the beach. Look, you knew what you were signing up for. It's not new to hear backlash about these things. I'm sure people have warned you. Ben Affleck went through like training sessions to deal with Twitter and reactions and stuff when he was cast as Batman. So you didn't even really have it that bad. You just made a bad movie. I'm sorry you were a part of it to an extent because I know you got paid a lot of money. But hey, look, I can't say you can't say you'll never do this again because when big studio comes around and hey, look, Francis Ford Coppola did Godfather 3 to finance his vineyard. So like everyone has their reasons. I could care less whether you want that new house in Malibu or whether you want to be a thespian. You still need to pay for your lifestyle somehow. So,
yeah,
whatever. You know, it's no loss for me. I think Madam Web is a fantastic drinking game film. I took it for what it is. I had a lot of fun with it. I know it made some people miserable. Those people have miserable lives. So if you can't make the best out of a bad movie, what's the point? I don't know. Just, hey, all right. Thanks, sweetheart.
I mean,
what do you want me to say?
But the flip side is, what if it did well? Would you still have all these complaints? Like, no, right? She wouldn't get, that's what I mean.
She's upset because the first time in her career, people are talking really negative about a project, her acting ability, and everything else that surrounded it. I don't know much about Dakota Johnson. I know she's one of the Nico Caruso All-Stars. I've never seen her in anything other than Madame Web. If I have, I don't know who she is. You know, I'm just saying, like, it's... You know, you stepped into this realm. You got to know how to deal with it a little bit.
This is, I mean, it's funny that she said this because she did the 50 Shades of Grey movies. And that's where...
Aren't they just all sex? Well,
that's where she got... That was her big break. Like, those are the movies that people got to know her.
Was she the girl who was involved in all the sex
scenes?
Yes,
she was the lead character in...
I've never seen those movies, but I know about them.
And they weren't received well either. They were received
better. Oh, so she's used to being in bad movies.
They were received better than Madame Web. I'll give them that. But they were not considered great films by any stretch of the imagination. So it was weird reading these things because I'm like, she's been through this before. That was a major franchise based off of best-selling books.
And there were sequels,
right? There were three of them, yeah. There were three of the movies. And
she should be used to
this. I only watched the first one, and that was enough for me. I'm like, this is not, first of all, it's not, I don't think it's for someone like me. It's really.
So she's never made a good movie.
No, she's been in good smaller films. She even got nominated for an Academy Award. I don't remember the movie.
Okay.
Yeah, she's been in good films. And the new one she has coming out with Sean Penn looks really good. So I don't know, but. It's surprising to me that she's saying this now when, like I said, she's been through something similar before. So
she's probably just fed up with everyone talking shit about her movie.
So, yeah, but it was interesting to read. And I just, like you, I kind of get, like, I'm, like, frustrated, like, exactly what you said. You signed on to this because you thought it was going to make you, it was going to make a ton of money, and you get a big check for it, and that's why you did it. And you can say, that's fine if you say that.
Guess what? That all happened, by the way. You made a ton of money. You got a big check. I'm sorry you're not going to get six movies out of this deal, but you've already made more money than the two of us on this show in our lifetime. I'm curious. We as fans know Sony makes horrible comic book movies. What do these actors
think? I know.
Are they oblivious to what goes on in their own industry? Because, I don't know, we're fans. We complain about it. We watch these movies. But, like, as an actor, you have to know... Oh, I'm in a Sony Spider-Man-less Spider-Man movie. This is going to suck. Like, right? Like,
I mean, I mean, even their solo's last Spider-Man film was not received well. So, yeah, I mean, it's tough. You know, it's, I guess, like you said, it's just, they know it's a comic book movie. I could make a lot of money here. And that's what they do. That's what they go to. That's why the complaining afterwards bothers me, because I'm like, this is what you signed up for. It's just part of the deal. You know, there's been plenty of good actors who have signed on for the bad films and they have to deal with the blowback. Like George Clooney famously, right? With Batman and Robin. He jokes about it now, but he'll say it was a bad movie. Like, you know, he'll give you.
Yeah, but he also says it helped launch his career, which is a weird
thing. Yeah.
But I think that's the difference between playing Batman and Madame Web.
That's true. That's fair.
I think there's a huge difference there. Mm-hmm.
It definitely started his movie career. I'll say that. He was big on TV. He was on ER. But, yeah, it started his movie career. So, I don't know. But it happens, right? It happens. You just say, yeah, it was a bad film. Not all of them that I make are good. And, you know, I'll be more selective with my choices, I guess. I don't know.
Actors just don't live in the real world, man. They just don't. Like, they just...
Well, they have huge egos.
They're scrutinized. They do. They have egos. They're scrutinized on a different level. They make a lot of money. They don't. I'm not going to say that they don't work hard, but, like, you know, they don't know what it's like to just be, I don't know, be an average Joe. They're a little disconnected.
That's true. Well, someone who was connected to a character for a while, Melissa Benoist, who plays Supergirl on the show that you love so much.
Oh, that you hate so much.
Yeah, it wasn't for me. I didn't like it. Eric
hates female superheroes.
No, I don't. She recently spoke about Millie Alcock being named as to play Supergirl in the new DC universe. And So this is what she had to say. A lot of quotes today, guys. I think that the character and the IP of Supergirl is so iconic for a reason, because she's such a fantastic role model for young women. So I think I think anyone who dons the cape and the glyph, I'm just excited for them to experience that. To see how young women will look at you and to see themselves in the character and to feel empowered by it and to feel like Supergirls themselves. So I hope that Millie feels all that. So she also goes on to say she hopes she's okay with wire work and flying. So
let me just say this. Melissa Benoist embodies Supergirl. She is Supergirl. In fact, this is the second time she has welcomed another actress into the sorority of Supergirl. Yeah. I don't see Sasha Kaye going out of her way to welcome Millie into the family to, you know, carry on the tradition. I don't see that at all. I see her actually just kind of being bummed out that her movie stunk and she probably is just whatever. She'll never appear as Supergirl. But Melissa Benoist is everything that you want in Supergirl. She is one of the, I don't want to say definitive take on Supergirl, but her portrayal as an actress really is as good as it gets as Supergirl. I think this is great. I love how she's welcoming in and she's just including everyone into her little, in her group. Her and Helen Slater have been fantastic. I mean, Helen Slater was on. As you know, she was Supergirl in the film, and she played Kara's mom, yes, on the show, and she even got a little CGI cameo in the Flash. Yep. So, I think it's great. I'm all for it. I'm glad that she's a good sport about it, because you know she had six seasons, I believe.
Yep.
I want to say four of them were really good, maybe three and a half. If we're going to be brutally honest, the last season was rough. She was wonderful. I'm happy to see that she's, extending the olive branch and just, welcoming in Millie, and we'll see what Millie has to bring to the table. Yeah. But, I think it's great. Sasha Kaye, well, quiet, not welcoming, not very friendly. She's about as broody as her character.
She was, well, to be fair, I don't know if there's been an interview with Sasha Kaye about it. So I don't know. Since Millie Alcock's been cast, I don't know her feelings on the person.
I mean, when Sasha was cast, Melissa put up the Instagram stories and everything, and they had exchanges. I still haven't seen anything from Sasha, so she seems to be a little bit of a bitter sore loser.
I don't know. I'm trying not to get into the the wars with the actresses, but I mean, this is great for Millie Alcock to have someone who literally has been Supergirl longer than anybody else in live action, that she's here and welcoming her in is very, very, it was a very, very nice gesture. There was an Instagram picture of, I don't know where Melissa Benoist was, somewhere at the, I think the Warner Brothers studios in California, where they had a Supergirl in the costume, like in a statue, in a mannequin.
Display case.
Yeah. And she was there taking picture next to it and stuff. So, yeah, also, sure. I mean, it's cool. She did clearly love the character. Obviously, it's been her biggest role to date. So good for her. And it's really nice for her to do that, to welcome her.
Two greatest sidekicks in the history of comics, Supergirl, Robin. They're bigger than comics. They've had their own stories. They've had their own books. They've had their own TV shows. So two greatest superhero sidekicks of all time.
I never really considered her a sidekick. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. I don't know.
She is kind of in a way, but she's more of her own character at this point.
Yeah, that's what I've always considered her. I do remember, obviously, when they did the movie in the 80s with Helen Slater. It was right around the time they were, that they were making Superman. So, making the Superman film. So, of course, it was ripe for it. The movie is not good, but I do remember that was like the...
That was my introduction to Popeyes.
To Popeyes? Chicken?
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't know what Popeyes was until that movie.
Oh, wow.
And then I never saw it again until maybe somewhere in the 2000s when they started coming up to New Jersey.
It's fantastic. It makes me feel like crap after I eat it, but it is fantastic.
Oh, I agree. I think it's great. But it was weird. I saw Popeyes there and I was like, what is this? And then and then it started popping up in New Jersey around the late 2000s.
Well, keeping with the Superman, CW Superman universe theme, all of that, we knew that they cut casting, but apparently they're adding someone to the cast of Superman and Lois. So Yvonne Chapman will join as Amanda McCoy, Lex Luthor's ally in the war against Clark Kent. Her past poses a significant threat to the Kents, possibly revealing Clark's secret identity. She's been in the new Avatar, The Last Airbender, and the Kung Fu Show that was on CW. So if you guys are aware of her, you know, if you've seen her before, she's coming back for Superman and Lois.
No clue. Yeah. Nothing. But all right, here we go.
So are you familiar with the Amanda McCoy? No,
I don't. This name does not ring bell. When I hear McCoy and I think of comic books, I think of the Beast.
Right. Yeah.
I think of Hank McCoy. Yeah.
So. All right. But yeah, I just thought it was weird because we knew that they had cut so much casting. I'm like, well, now they're adding someone else.
She's not making a ton of money. I can guarantee you that. She's definitely making the league minimum.
Yeah, I would definitely, you know, co-sign believe that. But yeah. So we'll see, guys. We will see how this works out with this casting and the characterization. Obviously, it's the final season for season four is the final season of Superman and Lois. So we both enjoy the show. And we're both looking forward to seeing how it ends, especially how they ended last season. Yeah,
that cliffhanger was
good. So we'll see going forward. All right. This is a very Superman heavy show. As we know, Superman, James Gunn has finally given us, as we spoke on last show, given us the name Superman. They start filming and we've started to see characters kind of the actors kind of branch out and start talking about it. One of them is Nicholas Hoult's Lex Luthor. And he says that his version is inspired by the Smallville version played by Michael Rosenbaum, famously by Michael Rosenbaum. So he was on Michael Rosenbaum's podcast and this was his quote. This is what he said to him. I grew up, I think the first ever Lex I saw was you. Yeah, I grew up when Smallville was on. I can't remember if it was Channel 4 or Channel 5 in the UK, but like growing up, I was like 11 or 12, I guess. So that was the show that I would watch and see my first iterations of Superman and Lex and all those stories. Since I've seen Richard Donner's movies and all the other ones and kind of seen some of the other performances, but you're like the one. I love your portrayal. It's the best. You inhabit him and with such depth and charm, and then, yeah, the ability to switch, which makes him dangerous and formidable and a great opponent. I just loved what you did. So, Pete, I know you're not a huge fan of Smallville. When you read this, what do you think?
Yeah, Rosenbaum's a good Lex. I just don't really like a lot of the characterization choices about it. I'm not a big fan, and you guys have heard me say this before, I don't like when everything comes from Smallville. Basically, it's like they just take Smallville, they move it to Metropolis, and everyone aged like 15 years. Like, I'm not a fan of when they do that Superman-wise. But I thought his Lex Luthor was intimidating and at times charismatic and just evil. So I think it's a great choice, to be honest with you. If you're going to mimic someone, he might be he seems to be the favorite overall. I know. I think movie-wise, I still think Eisenberg's probably the closest we've gotten to what Lex actually is, as crazy as that sounds. But I don't think Lex as a real estate agent like Hackman or Spacey. So this is good news. I mean, everyone should be happy about it. I know a lot of people love Smallville, so those fans would be happy because it's getting Smallville just it keeps getting like the credit it deserves. For kind of keeping the hope alive for so many years back in the day, so this is all good news. You know, I did not know that what's his name was from the UK. That's actually the
you
most,
didn't know Nicholas.
That's the news. I didn't know because every time I see him, he's got an American accent. So like, how am I? You know, like
that's fair.
I never hear him speak actually, and when he does speak, it's usually I read it through print. So I've never heard his actual voice.
That's fair. That's fair though. You're right.
You know, like. When Bale was doing, I think, Begins, I think he did the whole press tour with an American accent. So if you didn't know, you didn't know, you know, unless you found out, oh, he's Welsh. I honestly, I've never heard him speak with his real voice.
Yeah. That's weird, man. I didn't know that. You didn't know that. So that's cool.
I don't care about these guys' personal lives. Like, if that's not evident, I don't know what they like. If they're not on screen, I don't care.
It's true. It is true, though. There are certain guys where it's happened to me in life. I can't think of one right now where I had no idea that they were English or from somewhere else because their American accent was so good in things I had seen them in. Yeah, I mean, just had no idea.
If the British film industry was so amazing, maybe they'd stay over there and work.
Oh boy, here we go.
Hey, I'm just saying, they came to Hollywood to work.
You know? It's true. That's the place to go. So he also
no one wants to be an actor in London.
Well, they have quality programming over there.
I'm sure they have. They have their TV Downton shows Abbey, and their plays.
Yeah, Downton Abbey.
Yeah, but you know, I don't know. You want to make it big, you got to go to Hollywood.
Well, yeah,
Hollywood or Bollywood.
I mean, a lot of those things are shot over there, though. So even stuff that are made and greenlit in Hollywood studios. Yeah, a lot of stuff is made.
I mean, sure. Yeah, the tax breaks and everything. Everyone cuts shady deals for money. Yeah. Remember George Miller when he was making Justice League Mortal? A percentage of his crew had to be Australian or they wouldn't let him make the movie. So there's all kinds of things to go around.
So he did also reveal that he's been working out. A bit of the reference to All-Star Super, the Lex from All-Star Superman. So there you go. You have that ad as well. We have a muscular Lex. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But I love the casting from the beginning. And I think I do like Rosenbaum's Lex. I do think of all the live action ones, it's my favorite. I didn't watch Smallville straight through, but I probably watched the first four or five seasons pretty religiously. So it was a different take that I wasn't used to, but I grew to love it. So if that's who he's using as inspiration, I'm looking forward to this even more than I was before. Mm-hmm. So, yes, and as I mentioned, Superman is beginning filming. James Gunn teases a scene with a hero fleeing to the Fortress of Solitude. It's beginning to take shape in Norway. That's where they are right now. So there we go.
All right. That's exciting to hear. Fortress of Solitude. I wonder what it's going to look like. You know, we've seen it look a few different ways. We didn't really get one in the past version of Superman. The closest we got was that Kryptonian spaceship. Right. So it'll be nice to kind of get a comeback. We've seen it in Superman and Lois. So it's been here and there, not really consistent. Cool. I mean, I'm just excited to see that, that this movie is really just kind of kicking off and really going. You know, it's about time. It's about time.
Yeah. We always say
we can talk about production stills and stuff, you know, like this is, we can actually talk about the movie instead of what we think the movie's going to be.
We always say we don't believe something's getting made until we see, something like this. Well, there we go. We have it now. So it's coming. I'm looking forward to this. So I'm also looking forward to, which we've talked about, this movie coming up this summer, Deadpool and Wolverine. And one of the characters from the Deadpool movies that I think has been a welcome addition is the Dopinder character, who's the taxi driver. The actor who plays Dopinder, Karan Soni, spoke to Variety, and he had a few things to say. One of the things he says was, look for a lot of cameos, people. So I know we've heard some, and we knew that some were coming, but he says there are a lot of people came on set. But he also spoke about the development and how this came to be. So he says, when we were making the second one, Ryan was plotting back then. I remember him spilling that at lunch one day, that he had started a conversation with Hugh Jackman. I remember saying, people are going to flip out. Then the studio got sold to Disney and a lot of other stuff happened. But of course, Ryan followed through because it was dream casting. This new MCU version is ultra secretive, he says, but fans will be blown away by what else is included in the film. There are a lot of surprises. Let's just say a lot of people travel to London. We know that there was a rumor and a confirmation that Jennifer Garner will reprise her role as Elektra. So we know about that. People have been trying to make wave just by watching the trailer to see who they could pick out in it, if anyone. the cameos, but yeah, so this was cool. It was a cool little thing. I like the Dopinder character. I'm glad he's coming back. Just more excitement for Deadpool and Wolverine.
If there was ever the slimmest of chances that Edward Norton would come back for the Hulk in anything, it would be this. This is it. This is the last chance I have forever seeing Mr. Norton reprise the role of Bruce Banner Hulk, in my opinion. If it doesn't happen in this movie, it'll never happen again. It probably won't. It's just, I'm holding on to that. It was the last great Hulk, in my opinion. I love that movie to this day. I still think it's better than Iron Man, and I still think you're all insane for not supporting that movie.
I love
The Incredible Hulk. You know, I'm whether it's Ben Affleck as Daredevil, or I don't know. I think it would be pretty insane if he did. I mean, he already did a Green Lantern thing, but I still think it would be funny if he did something like that. I'm trying to think, like, could you see, I don't know, Chris Evans? I'm just thinking Fox wise, right? Like Chris Evans as the Human Torch. Was that possible? What if it was Jessica Alba popping up? That'd be cool. We'll see. I don't know. The cameos could be crazy. I mean, there's so many reboot. I mean, I would love to see Thomas Jane. I'm just thinking of actors. Like you said, cameos, it's got me thinking. So what if Thomas Jane pops up in this movie as the Punisher?
That would be fun. Yeah. It'd be a lot of fun.
It'd be interesting. You know, I mean, hell, Wesley Snipes. I would take Wesley Snipes as Blade back in this movie if for 30 seconds. I just, you know, it would be cool to me. I don't know. I'm trying to think, what previous Marvel character or from another, I would say, booted franchise?
I know. I'm trying to see. I don't know. You could pick any of the X-Men, right? Any of the, not just Jackman, but you could pick any of them.
Well, I wouldn't pick the Juggernaut.
Well,
for sure.
Yes, very, very nice lead-in, Pete.
Anyway.
Yes, Vinnie Jones, who famously played Juggernaut, in X-Men The Last Stand, turned down the role to reprise the character in Deadpool and Wolverine. This is his quote. "Funnily enough, I just got asked to do Deadpool, the new one now, and I spoke to the director, and it's just said it's such a drama putting that suit on mentally and physically. It's had its mental toll as well because you're in it and you can't do anything all day. You can only drink through a straw, so we couldn't strike the deal for Deadpool and Wolverine. But Deadpool's my favorite movie of all fucking time, more or less," he's added. "I really wanted to do it, but they didn't have the budget to put me in the suit." Well, that's weird that they couldn't put him in the suit.
Isn't his suit essentially just pants and a helmet?
That's what it looked like to me. I mean,
like, I haven't watched a godforsaken movie in so long.
It's been on, I have Showtime now.
You tweeted about it.
Yeah, yesterday
recently.
I did. There's some good stuff in it. I didn't think his portrayal was one of the good things, but there are some good things in that film. Still, I had no idea that, like you said, that the suit was such a big.
And it's interesting because if I'm not mistaken, the Juggernaut in Deadpool 2 was a complete CGI character voiced by Ryan Reynolds.
I didn't know that part. I knew it was complete.
I thought he voiced the character.
Oh, he might have. I don't know.
But so he wasn't even in the last version as Juggernaut. So this definitely was some sort of cameo Fox thing, which would have been cool. I think it would have been great to see the CGI Juggernaut next to his stupid costume Juggernaut. I'm surprised it was the costume because I thought all he wore was really pants and a couple, like, I don't know, pairs of suspenders.
Yeah, I don't know how that whole thing, but how they do that whole thing. But yeah.
Like, I got to Google.
Well, yeah, he continues. Like, okay. He talks about it.
He's got some kind of leather vest thing.
He talks about what happened with the movie and stuff. He said the new director came on and it was not the same role as I had signed on to do. Where have we heard that before? They diluted the dialogue. The director brought in so many moving parts and so many other actors that mine got diluted. I lost all interest quite early because I knew they were just taking me along. I was very upset, really. It was such a big stage and I became an extra. That's what happened.
Dude, I am looking at pictures of this suit. He's literally wearing like a bra and pants.
I know. I'm, like I said, I just watched the movie. It was on yesterday, so I was watching it. And I'm trying to, when I read this, I'm like, wait a minute. It's not too much to that suit. I don't know.
And his mask has, it looks like more than enough space for him to use a cup. like he could drink out of a glass.
Maybe.
Like, he's not walking around like he's like, what's her name? The blue chick. Romaine Stamos and what's her name?
Mystique.
What do they play? Mystique. Yeah, he's not walking around like Mystique. We're really got to be delicate here.
Yeah. Well, that would have been a whole different movie if that was the case.
I don't know. It's one thing to hear about Jennifer Lawrence. That's why in her last X-Men movie she was more human than blue, right? Like, it's one thing to hear her complain about hours of makeup. Like, I'm sitting there looking at. Look, if you went through extensive makeup for the role of Juggernaut, please tell me, because I don't believe that this is, like, I don't think this is the costume's fault. This is all money. Like, this is, that's you making
it. Yeah, it seems like it seems his bigger complaint is the mental toll it took, because he thought he was going to have a bigger role than he had. And it turned out that that was.
Well, I can't imagine now they're lying to him when he's essentially, it's a cameo.
Right. That's what he's saying.
Does he want to be a headliner?
Oh.
Deadpool, Wolverine, and Juggernaut.
That would, yo, that might not be a bad movie. That would be funny.
Isn't a Juggernaut Xavier's like half brother?
I believe so, yeah.
So let's get, what's his name back? Captain Picard.
He's probably in it. He's probably in it, yeah. I would be stunned if he wasn't in this movie. So, all right. Well, switching gears now to the horror genre. Let's do. We haven't done a horror thing in a while. Jason Blum, who of course Blumhouse Films, you know, Thanksgiving. God, there's so many of them he did. I actually saw Imaginary, which is the newest one, which is where this came up. They were talking about Imaginary. He was talking about Imaginary with Collider. And he reaffirmed his desire for doing a Friday the 13th franchise.
Oh, finally. Yes.
So this was his quote. Friday the 13th is what I would do. It's not a Blumhouse project, but I'm trying to will it into being one. It's just a piece of IP I've always loved. And James Wan and Atomic Monster are very passionate about it. And I think we would have them shepherd it for us. That would be a lot of fun. I'm in.
Yes, just do it. Like, if this doesn't happen, it's going to be a crime against film.
I agree. I'm in. You know, I'm sure Juan wants to go back home a little bit, coming off of Aquaman, to go back to his roots and do horror again.
I doubt he would direct it. He would produce it.
So I think, I mean, it sounds like they want him to direct it. That's how I read it.
I mean, if that's the case, then yes. But, I feel like when they mentioned him and it, whatever his production company is, I figure like he would shepherding it. If it just feels like he's producing.
Yeah, that's possible.
Either way, I'm in for it.
Real quick on Imaginary, it was not that good. If you had any intention of seeing it, but it wasn't. I didn't like it. it's very typical Blumhouse of their style, so it wasn't a stretch from what they do. But it just didn't work for me. If you don't know the premise, it's about imaginary friends and children with their imaginary friends and how that impacts their lives. Not just when they're children, like, but going forward. Yeah. Yeah. So I didn't enjoy it all that much. I always try and find something in it. There's some good stuff in it, but some of it's just really ridiculous. So.
All right, there you go. No car review.
I didn't enjoy it at all, so I didn't want to do a car review.
If you want more car reviews, you guys got to speak up.
Sorry about that.
But
sorry, I got to.
You know, what are you going to do? You can't review them all. You can't review.
True. But let's, I noticed we've had this on the rundown a few weeks, and I hadn't finished it, but I finally did. So let's do a quick little bit on Echo. The Disney Plus show. It was like, that's how I feel about a lot of them now. Yeah.
Really?
I thought it was okay. I liked, I thought Alakwa Cox did a really good job. You know, it was interesting watching a show where, the lead character is deaf. So that was an interesting thing for me. I thought D'Onofrio, of course, was fantastic as Kingpin. He's, you know, he's come to embody that role, and I'm glad we're getting more of him in Daredevil. But it was just kind of okay for me. I think a lot of people, from what I remember, a lot of people didn't like it. I wouldn't go that far. I felt it was a little rushed, though. I didn't think there was enough episodes, and that's kind of my gripe with a lot of them that are short. There's just not enough time to tell the story I think that they want to tell. Everything gets rushed, especially towards the last two episodes. I didn't feel like it flowed well together. I don't know. What do you think?
I enjoyed it. I liked it. I thought it was good. I enjoyed the background of Echo and her family and everything. Were they in Oklahoma?
Yep.
I think that's where they are. I enjoyed that aspect. D'Onofrio, every time he's on the screen, he steals every scene he's in. He's absolutely amazing. He's incredible in this role. I thought the action was incredible. I really had a fun time with it. I think it's one of the better Marvel shows. I really enjoyed it. I'm surprised a lot of people didn't, because I thought it was good. You do have to pay extra close attention to it, because there's just certain parts of the show where she starts signing, and if you just, obviously, if you're not reading the subtitles, you have no idea what's going to go on. So it like you said, it was a little different at times. Like you have to focus really on it, because you never know when Echo's just going to start waving her hands and start actually talking. So you're going to have to pay attention. But it's definitely not something you can have on in the background, because half of the time she doesn't speak.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to focus. But I enjoyed it a lot. I really did.
I felt like the development of her powers was kind of
weird. I thought, I didn't know she had
powers. Me neither. She flashes it at one point where she does it by accident, and then by the end of the film, sorry.
Wow, you need some water. Eric is dying here. He's choking. He's about as red as that. Remember that orange shirt Eric had for his car review? That's what he looks like right now. Eric doesn't turn red when he coughs. He turns orange. Sorry about that.
Wow. You know? She uses it earlier in the show, and then you don't see it until the end, when her mother shows her that she has these, like, now, what they actually are, and then she uses them. It's just very weird.
That part was a little weird. It did come out really. I also forgot she didn't have a leg. Like, until they showed me her mechanical leg, I forgot she didn't have one. So I was like, oh, wow, like, this girl's all screwed up. Like, she's been through a lot. But I loved the scenes with her and Kingpin, even as a child, I thought were really great.
Yeah, I mean, there's the world, there's the connective there, like, because you do see Daredevil in the movie. She fights him early on in the show. So there's you have all of the elements, but... Yeah, it was just kind of okay. There wasn't a point where I was attached to anybody in the show. I never made that connection.
I really liked the uncle. So, I thought he was cool.
Yeah. There's a lot of elements to it, and that's what I said. I feel like it should have been a couple more episodes, maybe fleshed it out a little more, but it is what it is. So.
I didn't mind it. It's not amazing. It's not epic. I enjoyed it. I just sat there and was like, oh, this is a lot better than I thought it would
be. Yeah, I mean, it was better than Secret Invasion. I liked it more than Moon Knight. So those are two ones that I prefer this to those. But yeah, overall it's just okay, in my opinion. So
I will say this. I don't think we needed it. Like, if you're talking oversaturation, I think Echo is a prime example of that. You know, as much as I love seeing Kingpin and one Daredevil fight scene, I honestly don't think you need. It's weird to me that Echo was the character they took out of that Hawkeye show, right? And they made her own show. I don't remember her being like hugely popular at the time either. It's fascinating that they picked her. I'm sure they have their reasons, but I never would have made a show.
Well, they're building towards the Young Avengers if they eventually do it, because I mean that's where they're headed. So
yeah, again, I think they need to go back to A-list. And
I agree with you.
Find the next big thing. You know, I think you should just go with characters.
And if they're gonna do Young Avengers, do it in the spotlight on the Disney Plus. Do it on, like they did Echo. Just keep it on that part of the.
Yeah, I don't know.
I
know we're just hyping up the Penguin, but maybe it's time to cut down on these streaming things.
Well, if you listen to Bob Iger, that's exactly what they're gonna do. So so we're not going to be getting them.
He's another one who doesn't live in real world, by the way. He lives in his CEO, lifestyle. He has no idea what the
world. When you make that much money,
no, I get it. It's just he's been very quotable lately. Zaslav's been in hiding, so everyone's been seeking out Iger for crazy headlines. Yeah. Right? It's like, if we can't speak to one billionaire CEO, can we ask the other? So these guys, they live in their own.
I
world.
Mean, it's Disney.
They take helicopters to the airport.
That's very true. I know. Life. It's very true. I mean, when it's Disney, which owns so much, he could speak on a lot of things. So it's easy. Easy target.
Hey, I thought that monopolies were against the law, but I guess, what are we going to do?
And we still don't have a James Bond.
We never really got that Superman sequel. We had to reboot the character. But Ant-Man's got three films. It's got three films.
If there's an ode to what a successful shared universe could do, there it is, right? You can make Ant-Man. That's what...
You can make three Ant-Mans. You can make two Captain Marvels. You can make spin-off TV shows that nobody really wanted or enjoyed.
Yep. You can do all of that when you're a successful shared universe. Whether they do well after the fact, that doesn't matter. That's you could just have the ability to make them. So, all right. Well, we've come to the end of this fine show. So, Pete, tell them where they could talk to you.
If you need to find me, you can find me on Twitter at FinalE33. I got you. No, at Pete Illustrated, BatmanOnFilm.com, at BatmanOnFilm, at Spidey Coalition for Spider-Man, at the Batman BC, BatmanOnFilm.com, Batman on Film YouTube, Batman on Film Podcasts, Straight Outta Gotham, Facebook page, Facebook group, join both, Instagram, Straight_O_G, same as Twitter. That's about the runaround. And you know where to find me, let's be honest. If you're listening to the show, you know where to find me. Now, if you want to find the champion of Long Island, the moment you've been waiting for, Eric Holzman's State of the Union.
Well, Twitter, finally 33, spell finale 33, as you guys know, and as Pete started to tell you as well. Again, I do a show on the New York Knicks, if you're basketball fans, NBA fans, called All Nicked Up. It's every Wednesday night. Usually...
And they are all nicked up.
Yes. I feel bad naming the show that now because it came to fruition. Like,
you cursed yourself. It sounds like a very Knicks thing for you, dude.
Anyway. At @all_nick_up on Twitter. We have a Facebook page and Facebook show page and a Facebook group. If you're interested in the group and you're on Facebook, send me a message and I will get you into the group. I think that's it. I don't have anything else to plug right now. So.
All right. That's it. Holzman, king of the world.
So for Pete, I'm Eric. You're listening to Straight Outta Gotham. And we'll see you next time.
Booyah.